It is a beautiful day outside. 2 Kings chapter 6, and we're going to begin reading. I want you to begin reading verse number 8. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Then the king of Syria warred against Israel. Now we're preaching through the life of the prophet Elisha, preaching through his life. And took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. Now they were warring against Israel, and he would tell his counselors and so forth, his servants, we're going to set up camp in such and such a place. In verse number 9, and the man of God, who is Elisha, sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Now, here's what was happening. Every time he was planning a military move, the Israelite armies were moved in ahead of him. And he could tell somebody's informing these people. Somebody is telling the scoop. Somebody, I've got a traitor in my midst that's telling this military secrets. Who is it? And then verse number 12, one of the servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. Woo! Can I tell you something? That God, the God of this Bible, the God of glory, hears the words that you and I speak in our bedchambers. He hears every word that we ever speak anywhere at any time, and he has them. Don't think, let me tell you something. If a little old cassette deal or a CD can record your words, don't you think God ain't got everything I've said and you said recorded? And we're going to give account of judgment for it. And verse number 13, so here's the result of it. And he said, go and spy where he is. He said, find out where Elijah's at, that I may send and fetch him. And I was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots. Now keep that in mind, horses and chariots. And a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. Let me tell you something here. Can you imagine this scene? Here's the king of Syria, and I mean this huge, you know, big world military power. And here's a little bitty man of God named Elisha, and he's messing up his whole world. And he sends this great big old army down there to get one little old preacher. Now here's what's funny to me is, what's this? He sends him down by night. He's going to sneak up on Elisha. Does that ring stupid to anybody else in here besides me? Elisha already knows what he's saying in his bedchamber. He's already been telling everybody, telling them ahead of time what's going on. And he's going to sneak up on him. You know that. Hey, can I give you some encouragement this morning? The devil thinks he's sneaking up, but he ain't sneaking up on God. And he's not sneaking up on God's people. God's ahead of him all the time. And you may think, my land of living, where am I at? What happened to me? But I'm telling you something, God's ahead of the whole game. But anyway, there's so many things I'd like to preach out of this, but we'll have to move on. In verse number 15, and here's where I want you to really start paying close attention. When the servant of the man of God, write down me right there. Put me in there. The servant, I want to preach first of all to save people and second of all to lost people here today, but first of all to save people. When the servant of the man of God, and you just put Elisha as a picture of Jesus Christ, put yourself as a picture of the servant of the man of God, was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, to Elisha, alas, my master, how shall we do? You ought to underline that in your Bible. Lord, what are we going to do? Have you ever said that?
Yeah.
I have. Lord, what are we going to do? And verse 16, I love this now. Here, let's get your faith built up this morning. Listen, I come to church to help you this morning. God come to church to help me. God's been helping me. I've been in the greatest spiritual battle this week that I have been in, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. But, but let me tell you something. The more we go for God, and I'm going to tell you something, there's something special going on. Let me tell you about, I really believe this. The articles in the newspaper have aroused the irk of the devil, probably more than anything we've done in a long time, I'm telling you right now. And he is after our hides. Some of you sitting in this church house this morning, you're going through some rough deals. I mean, you're going through some tough deals. Let me tell you something. The old wolf, the old lion will pick out a family here, an individual there, a family here, a family there, an individual here, and he'll work on you. He'll attack the hindmost. He'll attack those that are going through tough times. And I love this verse. So this morning, I'm glad you're here, and I want you to get help from God. I want you to be praying while I'm preaching. God, help me! God, I didn't come to church just to sit here for 2 hours a day. God, I didn't come here just to watch Reggie spit. Lord, I come to get help this morning. I'm telling you what, you ask God to help you, and He'll help you this morning. Verse number 16, watch this. He, Elisha, answered this servant. God is answering you this morning. Fear not, underline that in your Bible. Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Boy, I'll tell you something. You're talking about getting some encouragement, right? There it is. Now, verse 17, I want to preach out of this verse. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now, I'll tell you what, this is one of the greatest passages of Scripture in the Bible for Christian people. Because you can be surrounded by troubles, trials, doubts, disappointment, despair, depression. You can be surrounded by just problems. And what God is telling you this morning is this, that you have two sets of eyes. You've got one set of eyes that's seen the temporal. You have a second set of eyes that should be able to see the spiritual. And any time that you can move your focus from the temporal and the physical to the spiritual and the eternal, you're going to get joy and you're going to see victory. And by the way, may I say to you this morning that whether you ever see the horses and chariots of fire, they're there. Whether you ever see them or not. That's why God's going to take you through. That's why you're going to make it. Because God is greater than your enemies by a million miles. I want to say to you, I want you to go now in Psalms chapter 1, verse 19. Don't turn there. The Bible, David prayed this prayer. Watch this. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. David knew that if God did not open his spiritual understanding, he would be overcome by what he was experiencing in the circumstances of life. He would literally be defeated and destroyed if God did not open his spiritual eyes to see that which is not seen. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Don't turn there. Just listen to it. Listen real good. You can get the tape or the CD. While we look. Now, just the verse before, he's talking about afflictions that come in our life. All kinds of problems that come. And so Paul said the answer to your problems, your afflictions, your troubles, your trials. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. That's exactly what Elisha did for his servant. He enabled him through prayer and asked God, cause this boy, cause this servant to see that which he cannot see physically. While we look at the things, not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. You say, Reggie, how in the world do we see things that are not seen? Through faith. Faith. Through faith, through the eyes of faith. That's how, let me tell you, you got saved because God opened your eyes to the truth of the gospel. God had to open your spiritual eyes to understand that you were lost, that you're on the road to hell, that you aren't good enough, that you can't save yourself, that church can't save you, that being good can't save you, that you needed a Savior, Jesus Christ. It takes God to open your eyes to see that. You can't see that till God opens your eyes. But for the things, listen to this, for the things which are seen are temporal. Watch this. Ooh. Those, Ben-Hadad, this king of Assyria's army, was temporal. Every one of them soldiers is going to die. All those chariots are going to rust out and be put in the scrap pile. But that which was not seen to him, those chariots of fire and horses of fire, they're eternal. You know, I got thinking about this. What has America got militarily that could have whipped the chariots and horses of fire? Not a thing. You're exactly right. There's nothing we have militarily that could whip that. Can you imagine fighting against chariots and horses of fire? Did you know that it's interesting, a lot of people talk about Elijah being caught up in a chariot of fire, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible said that Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind, taken up in a tornado. So next time a tornado comes, don't worry about it. Maybe God coming for you. Just kidding, okay? Boy, that cools you off in a hurry, didn't it? Let me say this to you. The Bible said that there was chariot of fire and horses of fire, and that he went up by whirlwind. What was God doing for Elisha and the servant? He was saying this, the same God that took care of Elijah is the same God that's here to take care of you. God didn't treat Elijah special, and he's not treating them special. He loves you just as much. He's taking just as good a care of you, maybe better than he did those. And God wants you to know that there is an unseen world that his... The Bible says this, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him. There's an unseen guest around you. There's an angel of the Lord around you that Satan cannot touch you unless God gives him permission. He couldn't touch Job until God took the hedge out. Couldn't touch him. Let me tell you something. We need to understand that. You say, Reggie, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this morning this. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter on faith. I want you to see this. I want you to see that. This is the difference in life. I'm telling you right now, Brother Dennis, any time that the devil is able to get my mind on that which is seen, I get depressed. Yep. You listen to every time, Dean. If I start focusing on that which is going on around me, Brother Jim, I just, you know, it's bad. Do you know what our problem is this morning? You know what the church's problem is this morning? We look out and we see ourselves surrounded by the liberals. We see ourselves surrounded by the liberal news media. And we're going, oh, alas, Master, what shall we do? When God says, open your eyes. Let me tell you something. I don't care if there was a trillion liberals. God's army's bigger. God's power's bigger. I got to slow down. Boy, I tell you what, I've been getting so much help from this. I'm so excited about this. This helped me so much. You know, some of you, all you can see is your bills. You need to see the builder. Yeah. Amen. You say, Reggie, look at Hebrews chapter 11. And let's hit verse number 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what? What? Things not seen. You must learn to see spiritually. You must learn to see eternally. You must learn to see beyond the physical, beyond the current, beyond the circumstances. Look at verse number 3. Verse number 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Watch this. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Look at verse number 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things what? Not seen as yet, moved with fear. You see, what's that? Do you see that? What he saw is what moved him. What he saw spiritually is what moved him. Let me tell you something. I was coming down through town this morning, and I was coming across the deal. Now, I want to tell you something. Come across the four-way deal, and there's a car sitting up there, and a guy's down the ground looking underneath it, and I see some smoke and stuff, and, you know, this guy's having trouble. I look, and the first thing was, he's black. Now, I want to tell you something. We see a black guy in Norwood. There's something going on. Amen. There ain't a lot of black folk around here. I mean, isn't that right? I looked on the license plate. It says Mississippi. And I thought, here's a black guy traveling through Norwood, Missouri, all white, pert near, and he's having trouble. And, my inclination was, I need to get to church. But the Holy Ghost said, no, I want you to see something. And he turned around, he had a big patch. Did anybody see him down there? Anybody else see him? Ain't a soul saw him down there? I think I saw him. Anyway, he had a patch. I mean, looked like Patch the Pirate. And I pulled up there, and he gets up in his car and said, hey, you having trouble? He said, yeah. I said, I'm having trouble. I said, listen, you're a long way from Mississippi to be having trouble up here by yourself. And you know, what I'm telling you is, can I just tell you this morning, I didn't just look and see a black guy from out of state. God said, Reggie, there's a soul. And I said, listen, do you need help? Well, he said, I may. I don't know. He said, I'm in a mess. My car's messed up. I'm a long way from home and so forth. Anyway, make a long story short, I got to give him a CD, got to give him a track, got to talk to him about his soul. And you know what? He seemed so appreciative. I'm saying to you, what he's talking about? I'm telling you, every time we see people, we need to see something beyond what we're seeing. We need to see something. Hey, you say, Rachel, what are you talking about? Hey, there's a body. I see you, but there's a soul down inside you. There's a spirit down inside you. I can't see. I have to be able to see what I can't see in order to be used of God. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Look what he said. Noah saw what he couldn't see, so he could move with fear and got his family saved. Look down in verse number 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but what? Having what? Seen them what? Afar off, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Look at verse number 22. The Bible said, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departed children of Israel, giving commandment concerning his bones. 430 years before that ever happened, Joseph saw the children of Israel going out of the land of Egypt. Saw it by faith. He saw something. Let me tell you, the level of victory that you're having this morning is determined by your ability to see that which cannot be seen with the physical eye. And that's the honest, flat truth. If all I could see with my eye, it'd be a dismal picture. But anyway, look at verse number 27. By faith, talking about Moses now, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Watch this. For he endured. How many can stand a little big, good dose of something to help you endure this morning? How many of you ladies tired of changing diapers? Oh, I know you might not want to say amen, but I would have to think that'd get old after a while. You know how you endure? By seeing him who is invisible. Those little mundane chores that you're doing every day of your life, those things that you're doing that you just are wearing you out, that you don't see any purpose in it is you're going to have to see him who is invisible. He said he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, how in the world do you see him who is invisible? You have to see him through the pages of Scripture, through the Word of God, by faith. Let me just do a couple things. You know, I was thinking about this morning, I was reading them little funnies. I heard about a guy who was driving home from work, and he had a bad day, and he said, I needed something to get my mind off all my problems. And he said, I pulled over to a little league baseball game, and he said, I thought I just want to go watch some little bitty boys play ball, and maybe I can get my mind off my troubles. And he said, I walked over there, and he said, I sat down behind a big old bench of little bitty boys, and said, they was all excited, and they were laughing, and they wasn't worried about nothing, kind of like that sparrow Van was talking about this morning. And he said, I'm sitting there, and he said, a little bitty boy, and he said, I see a deal over, and he said, the score was 14-0, and he said, I asked that little boy, he said, what's the score? He said, well, it's 14-0, their favor. He said, well, you seem awful happy about it. He said, well, sir, we ain't got to bat yet. Yeah. Amen. Hey, we ain't up to bat yet. I don't care how many points the enemy's got, we ain't up to bat yet. You wait till Jesus gets up here. He'll grand slam it out of the park, amen. Oh, listen, that's what I'm thinking about. You see, what happens is, you might see a problem, but God sees a possibility. Amen. You might see America going to hell, but I see Jesus coming back again, setting up his kingdom. You might go to the jailhouse and see a convict, but God sees a convert. You might see an impossibility, but God sees an opportunity. You might see failure, but God sees success. That business that you did failed. God said, that's going to be your success. Someday you'll look back and dance and thank God for that failure. That's exactly right. Sometimes we'll see, as I said, defeat. God sees victory. Sometimes we see trouble. Godless liberals, I mean the biggest stinking nasty mess you ever seen. We see trouble, but God tells us to see triumph. God says, you see your enemies, but you need to see, you know, if we're not careful, all we see is enemies. But God says, hey, look unto Jesus. He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. You see, it's what you're looking at. Sometimes we see disappointments, but God wants us to see a door. Sometimes we see dirt, but God wants us to see a garden. Sometimes we see a thistle patch. God wants to see an alfalfa field. Amen. Some people walk up to a place and they say, that's a trash pile to dump. I wouldn't have it if you give it to me. I say, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it. Some people see a burden. Other people see a blessing. I think about, now, y'all know I'm just too dumb, too stupid, and fire me if you want to. Houston and Jericho back here with Ava. Jeremy and Tiffany with Benjamin. Some people might see that as a burden. Oh, no, but I think they see it as a blessing. You see, it's how you're seeing it. You may think, man, I got problems like you don't understand, Reggie. I may not understand, but God understands, and God can take your burdens and turn them into blessings. I'm telling you, listen, sometimes we look at things and see death, but God sees resurrection. Did you realize when the children of Israel walked up to the Red Sea, that's all they could see was a Red Sea. But you know what God saw? A road through the Red Sea. We need to quit looking at the Red Sea and see the road through the Red Sea. The children of the three Hebrew children, they saw a fiery furnace, but God saw the Son of God in the fiery furnace. Hey, the children of Israel saw a rock in the desert, but God saw water coming out of that rock. I'm telling you, listen, hey, the Israelite army saw a giant, but God saw a giant killer. I looked over here at this place. Do you know where the place you're sitting at right now? It was a brush patch and a sinkhole. Isn't that a wonderful sinkhole down there? Just right for sledding. Just right to put that sign he has risen up with. The world saw a briar patch and a sinkhole. But what did God see? God saw a church and a Christian academy and a ministry to go around the world. You see what? It makes a difference if you're seeing what God sees or you're seeing what the world sees. I'm telling you something. Listen, you might see a rebellious teenager with his lip pushed out, his eyes hard. But God may see an evangelist. God may see a pastor. God may see a missionary. You may see a girl that looks like she's trying to throw her life away. But God may see a servant of the Lord. Oh, listen to me. We need to see what God can see. We may see this. We may see a loss. But God may see it as a gain. We may see confusion. But God sees a conclusion. We may see sin enslaving people. But we need to see the blood freeing people. We may see the law condemning people. But we need to see grace saving people. We may see judgment sentencing people, but God sees mercy saving people and forgiving people. God help us to have the reality of opening up our spiritual eyes to the truth of what it is. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I hate to admit this. This hurts my pride, and I do not like my pride being hurt. I protect my pride. I pet my pride. I hide my pride. Try to. The reason it hurts my pride is because I want to show you how unspiritual your preacher is. Church started up this morning. Come in here. I sat down up there. All this over here is filling up. Both folks coming in, you know, and I was feeling really good. But Donnie, I turned around. On this side, the only thing I could see was Dean Martin. If that wouldn't discourage you, I do not know what would. Now, Dean, you've done a good job of getting folks on your side. This is honest truth. I turned around in my seat this morning, and I looked back here, and Dean's the only person I could see. Now, let me tell you how the devil works. Karen said to me before church, said, now, Zach and Jane ain't going to be here. They're going somewhere for dinner. Ben and Amanda ain't going to be here. They're going somewhere for dinner. So I thought, well, they're gone. They ain't going to be at church. I looked around there. I didn't see any of Donnie's kids. I thought, well, they're all singing somewhere. I said, this whole side's over here. I said, I'll tell you what. I think I'll just go somewhere. Preach. Ain't that how you... You know. I'm thinking, let's just all go somewhere and have a picnic today, you know? I mean, let me tell you how this was. I mean, I've been having a dog fight all week long. If you don't believe that, ask my wife when she gets to heaven. Don't ask her now. But buddy, I'm going to tell you something. I was so excited about this message because all week long, man, I'm telling you, I've been fighting, seeing the host of Ben-Hadad's army. That's all I could see. And God, what are we going to do? And God gave me this passage of scripture. Reggie, open your eyes, open your eyes. They that be with you are more than they that be against you. Amen. Don't fear. Don't worry. Quit griping. Quit moaning. Live in victory. Lift up your eyes and see the chariots of fire and horses. Yeah. So I'm coming into church, Don. I'm all excited about preaching. And I'm sitting there and just that fast, Satan nailed my... By what? Tell me what it was. what I saw. Turned around my seat and empty. I will say this. You don't know how your presence strengthens people. I mean, I know we all got to be gone once in a while, but I'm going to be honest with you, Kenny. If you ain't here, I miss you. Some of you say, well, I was gone 3 weeks. You never missed me. I did too. I just didn't call you. I'm sorry, Pastor. I ain't no good if you don't show up. If you ain't got something inside you makes you want to get to church, I don't know what to do for you. I tried the other deal. It didn't work very good. I mean, don't get me wrong. I do love you and I do care. You don't know how I cried about people not being in church. Prayed and wept and said, God, talk to their heart. But I'm telling you this much. I'm giving you an example of how fast you can get your eyes on that which is temporal. And it's not even real. And here's what the stupid thing about it was. I got up to, I mean, literally, and by the way, Van had dismissed for class, and I was still in this. I leaned over to Karen, and I said, boy, I don't know, I'm just so discouraged. And like people, I don't know what to do. Confessions of a preacher. And this is weird as a $3 bill. I turned around, and all of a sudden, I started seeing everybody, and I went back to class. And, well, I went downstairs first. I run downstairs just to see the little kids to get a little encouragement, and they sung to me, and I was okay. By the way, 2 weeks from today, you know what I'd like to do? In Sunday school hour, I would like for all the Sunday school classes to stay up here, and I would like for each class to have a song, a special, and someone from that class to share what you're learning and what you're doing and what God's doing in your class. Because I've seen some stuff this morning that... that would be a miracle? Well, God's still in the miracle bed. Just lift up your eyes, man. But anyway, and do it. But where was I at preaching? Do you know where I was at preaching? Huh? How I was discouraged. That's right. That was why. Oh boy, I love to live in that lowland. But anyway, what I was saying was, by the time, this is the wildest thing. By the time I got back upstairs, I walked into the young people's class back there. And everybody I thought was gone was here. Then I had a sudden urge that I needed to go visit the bathroom. And I went in the bathroom and I said, God, I'm sorry. I don't even believe what I'm preaching this morning. Now, ain't that a mess? It's real, Ann. I think about you folks a lot. I think about what you may be facing, because I'm going to tell you the truth. If you face half the spiritual warfare I face in a week, you need absolutely somebody praying for you almost nonstop. And if the spiritual warfare inside you, this battle between seeing that which you only can see and that which you need to see, we need each other really, really, really bad. Let me give this to you this morning. I've preached on what we need to see as Christian people. I want to give this to you if you're here today and lost. There's some things you need to see. The Bible said, listen to me carefully. I'm going to let you out in about 10 minutes. Here's what it says, the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4. If our gospel be hid. Now, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in our place for our sins on the cross. His burial and His resurrection. That He died in our place, took our sin on Him, gives us God's righteousness. That's the gospel. The Bible said, if our gospel be hid. Now, watch this. It's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God, little g, of this world, that's talking about Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Do you know why you're not saved, why you're not born again of the Spirit of God today? It's because Satan has blinded your eyes. And I don't say that condemningly, because, dear friend, I've been there. I know what it is to be blinded spiritually. Salvation is a revelation. God has to open your eyes. You can read the Bible, and if you watch what you're reading, you'll find out that God always opens the eyes. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind,
but now I see.
You see, I was sitting in church as a 28-year-old young married father with one son and one on the way. I was religious. I'd been to church all my life. And I don't blame anybody. Don't blame the pastors. Don't blame my parents. I'm telling you something. I'm responsible to God. I am personally responsible to God. But let me tell you something. That night I sat in that church house, God opened my eyes. And you want to tell you the first thing He opened my eyes to? Listen to me. That I was a wicked, wicked sinner. That it was not me weighing up my good against my bad and hoping it panned out in the end. That I was a hell-deserving, lying, stealing, immoral, worthless, proud, covetous jerk. And you're not going to get saved, dear friend, until you see you're a sinner. And let me tell you something. A dozen preachers could set you on a chair and tell you that, but until God shows you you're a sinner, you won't see it. Because all you'll see is, well, I'm not that bad. I mean, look at what these guys are doing. Good grief. I mean, surely that ought to count for something. That's how we think, see. What you need to see is that God is an absolute holy God in whom is no sin. And that sin cannot dwell in His presence. And that He requires absolute perfect righteousness for you to be saved. And you cannot do it. All of your righteousnesses is as filthy rags. You must have Jesus' righteousness imputed to you through faith. And that's what God does when He saves you. He imputes the righteousness of God to you. And He imputes your sin to Jesus Christ. You see, until that blinding is taken away, you can't see that. There's something else you need to see. You need to see what Jesus did on the cross, why He did it. Let me tell you something. If you can save yourself or be good enough or a church can save you or religion can save you or works can save you or the law can save you, then you tell me, dear friend, why Jesus bled and died on that cross. You need to understand that He suffered for your sins. The Bible said Christ also hath once suffered for sins. The just, that's Him. For the unjust, that's me. Why? That He might bring us to God, be put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Jesus died on that cross, shed His blood, gave His life, was buried and rose again so that you could be forgiven, that you could be redeemed, that you could be reconciled, so that you could be saved. And that's the only way. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I am the door by me. If any man, that's something you need to see. There ain't no other way through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way you're going. Let me tell you a couple other things you need to see. And I'm going to give you a chance to get saved. Number one, you need to see death, the day of death. I was thinking this week about the young lady out at the Yellowstone National Park last year, 17 years old. And nobody seems to know how or what happened, but somehow or another, right there at those big falls, she stepped too close to the edge and she went down about 300 and some feet. Took them a couple of days to retrieve her body. Now, here's what I was thinking. I wondered, Denny, at what seconds, what split second did she realize I'm gone? It's too late. I wondered, what would that feeling be like? The terrorization of realizing I went too far. I'm gone. Here last year, up in northern Missouri, a man was working with a tree service. And the man was operating the tree chipper. He was feeding that limbs into that tree chipper. And nobody knows how, nobody knows exactly what happened, but it grabbed him somehow and pulled him in. Head first. And I wondered last night when I was preparing this message, at what point did that man realize, I'm gone. It's over. I want to ask you this morning, have you ever thought when you step off into death and eternity, the realization that no more opportunity for you to be saved? Let me tell you something right now you need to really know. The God of this Bible does not want you wondering if you're going to go to heaven or hell. Are you hearing me? That if I'm going to tell you something, this one's true. If God of this Bible would not let us know that we're saved or that we're lost, if He would not clearly show us and tell us, I wouldn't want to worship Him. I've had people say, well, I don't think you know you're saved. That's baloney. That's straight out of the bowels of hell. Watch this. Listen to this. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Watch it. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. God wants you to know. A God that wouldn't want you to know whether you're saved or not would be one of the meanest, cruelest creatures I've ever heard of in my life. And He's not a creature, and He's not cruel. He's a loving, kind, gracious, good God who wants you to know whether you're saved today or lost. Amen. I ask you this. What's it going to be for you when you step off into eternity? When death grabs you and pulls you into eternity. And that second, I'm going to tell you something. When you realize, I can't go back. It's over. You go into eternity. Now, here's what you need to see. If you're here today and you're lost, don't ever forget this. You need to see hell. You need to see hell. And by the way, God has made it so that you can see hell through the eyes of faith. In Luke chapter 16, a man died, the Bible said, was buried, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar, seeth Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in these flames. God shows you. You need to see it. I pray the Holy Ghost will make you see it. But you also need to see this. When you get saved, you have a Heavenly Father you can talk to every day, every moment of every day. The name of this message is, what do you see when you wake up in mornings? What do you see when you wake up in mornings? I pray that if you're saved, you'll understand that you see a gracious Heavenly Father who loves you more than you love yourself. That all things are working together for good, regardless of how they look. I hope you'll see that He's going to provide all of your needs according to His riches and glory. I pray that you'll understand that you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. I pray that you'll see that if you seek Him first in His kingdom, that all these things will be added unto you. Oh, listen, now, I hope you'll see that He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think according to the power that worketh in you. I hope that you're able to see, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded, and they that strive with thee shall be as nothing and perish. I hope you can see that. But if you're here today and you're lost, I hope you can see hell. And I hope that from this day forward, if you don't get saved today, I pray that every morning you wake up that God will show you hell till you get saved. Because I'm going to tell you what God says. That He is not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. God wants you to be saved. He doesn't want you to die and go to hell. God says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. May God help you, that your eyes will be open, and to let you know that though Satan may be trying to drag your soul to hell, there's more on God's side than there is on the devil's side. And God is able to save to the uttermost. Can I say something to you? You have not sinned so much, but what God cannot forgive every sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Let's bow our heads as we stand. I want you to listen to me just for another moment. I want to give you a passage of Scripture. There was a very religious man in John chapter 3, who came to Jesus Christ by night. He was a bigwig in the religious world of Israel. The Bible said that Nicodemus came to Jesus Christ and he said, good master. He talked about, you know, he believed. Jesus' answer to him was this. Except a man be born again. And brother, I'm going to preach that till my breath's out of me. Because you must be born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, watch this, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see it. There may be a lot of things you don't understand this morning, but I want to tell you this. You get saved, God will open your eyes to a lot of things. And Jesus concluded by saying, you must be born again. Being born again means that you come to God as a repentant sinner with godly sorrow. Lord, I've sinned against you. Lord, I come not justifying my sin, rationalizing my sin, but God, I come as a guilty sinner looking for mercy through the shed blood and the merits of Jesus Christ's work on the cross of Calvary. Transferring your trust for salvation from anything and anyone and anything else to Jesus Christ alone. Oh, I pray you'll do that today. I'm going to be here at the front. I pray you'll not leave this place lost today. And if you would say, Pastor, I really would like to talk to you. I'd like for you to show me in the Bible, or I'd like for you to lead me in prayer. I want to be saved. I'm going to be up here at the front. We're going to dismiss. And what I want you to do is this. I want you to make your way up here. And I'm going to be sitting right here on these two steps. And if you want to be saved today, I'm asking you to come after the service is dismissed. I'm asking you to come with the intent of trusting Christ as your Savior. But it also may be that you're here and you say, man, Brother Reggie, I've got questions. There's some barriers. There's some things I got to get worked through my heart, my mind. I don't understand completely. What about this? What about this? I would do my best to take you in the Bible and clear away the brush that Satan may put in your soul so that you can see the Lord Jesus Christ. There's an old song that says this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, question number one. I need folks to pray for Reg Kelly. He's quite a mess. And I would like to ask this day those that would pray for Reg Kelly to be able to see spiritually, to see the horses and chariots of fire and not the world's chariots and horses. And in doing that, I'll make a deal with you. Those of you who say, Pastor, I'll pray for you about that. I'm going to pray for you. Those who raise your hand, I promise I'll pray for you. You pray for me that we can see spiritually and get our eyes off of this old mundane world and we'll see the true state of things, how it really is, not what it looks like. How many of you say, Brother Reggie, I'll do that for you? Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. Man, I'm telling you, let's pray for each other to see that way. God bless you. All right, now, second question right here. Are you here today and you say, Pastor, if the little light came into my soul today, I've had the gospel hid from me, but there's some grace must have been poured out of my heart because I can see I'm a sinner and I can see what Christ did. And God's dealing with me about salvation. Pray for me, Pastor. Would you slip your hand? Now, this don't save you, but I want to know how to pray for it. Man, you need prayer. Is there a hand in this building anywhere, way high up and back down, anywhere? God bless you. I see that hand there. Is there another hand anywhere? All right. Lord, we thank you for this day, for this message, for this truth. I pray you'll bless it to the hearts of our lives. Help us, Lord, not to just think, boy, that's a good thought. But God, help us take it right out this door, right out into our cars, right out to our homes and our lives and live by it. And Lord, I want to pray right now for all these folks to raise their hands, God, that you would help them to see that which is eternal, that which, Lord, is seen by faith, so that, Lord, they'll not fear by what they see immaterially. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God bless you. We'll see you tonight. I'm going to be preaching right on down the line of the lights here tonight.